Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman, and this week on the show, we're going to discuss some of the interesting challenges you can encounter in manufacturing. And with more than 20 years working around the globe, Filippo Mauri has seen a lot of them. His core experience is global supply chain strategy and rapid change in volatile markets. Filippo Mauri is a senior advisor on supply chain strategy and previously spent several years in various roles around the world and working with a large multinational manufacturer of consumer goods. So welcome to the show, Filippo.
Hi, Janet. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. So you've had a very varied background. Give us a quick run through of your background and your experience.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. In fact, I started like many other engineers in a very technical area. Okay. And so I did all the courses of technical manager, design engineer, all this kind of stuff. And then I started working a little bit more on the strategic side of the supply chain, right? And actually working in an FMCG company, in a marketing driven company, I got very close to the idea of speed to market and the industrialization of product. I cover several, let's say, jobs into this area, including also where to produce what, okay, and identify some cost-saving opportunities. And then I moved to, let's say that I did something a little bit backwards, because only at the end I started managing the plants and managing supply chains really on the ground, on the field. And most recently I was manufacturing director for Central America and then for Africa and Eurasia.
So you've worked all over the world, from Europe and New York to the warmer climates such as South Africa and Guatemala. So let's talk a little bit about how important it is to understand the local cultures when you're working in some of these places, and how do you accommodate those?
The interesting thing is that when you think about the supply chain and supply chain management, everybody thinks a lot about managing assets, managing plants, and big industrial stuff. In fact, managing a supply chain 90% of the time is about managing people not in general people, individuals. Okay, so maybe you have 5,000 or whatever, 6,000, 10,000 people reporting to you, because in general this is the biggest team that you have in an organization. But what you have to be aware of is that, yes, you need to have very solid basics and fundamentals in terms of technical skills, but what really matters is the way you interact with people, you get into a communication mood that actually breaks the barriers, the cultural barriers, and that's the key element for success. It's when you actually start entering in the people, and you just start to make a big group of people act like a big team. And in order to do that, and in order to be able to reach with the message, let's say, or the communication, such a large number of people, you need really to understand what are the key elements, what really are the language that you have to use, and you need to dive a little bit and leave a little bit behind you what you are, what is your background, and actually starting very humbly, entering in tippy toes into a new culture and start understanding how certain things are received and how certain things are perceived. So it's fundamental to, for instance, to understand things like the country pride. Okay, so there are countries that are particularly proud of their being a country, a United Country. There are others that are particularly into, for instance, some religion subjects. So it's very important to understand what keeps the people together in a certain culture. And when you, and because this is what really matters to the people. So you need to start entering into this let's say platform and start communicating, because starting from there, you start using the same language and the same code, and then you can start building.
So there's a huge bit of research that you have to do prior to actually moving into a new country when you go to start to work there.
Yeah, but it's not really a culture. It's research. It's really what you need is to be curious and to be a good listener. Okay, mm-hmm. So it's very important that you don't come with the idea of, okay, I'm coming from another country and I come here to teach you something, right? Now this is exactly the opposite that you should do. Is the perception and actually the right attitude is actually to come and have a mutual exchange, a good exchange on the same level in terms of giving and receiving information and also suggestion on the culture. It's to me is key for a leader in general to create an environment where people can openly speak and openly tell you when you are wrong. Okay, so in order to do this, you need to be very humble at the beginning, right? And try to control a lot what you say, the way you actually present yourself, okay? Coming from, you know, your dress code all the way up to the kind of language that you use, and try to put yourself in a mode that actually makes you compatible with the environment you're operating in order to be able to be some when it comes of giving suggestion, to be accessible. Okay, there's nothing worse than taking a wrong decision and not having anybody in the team that dares to tell you that you're wrong. It's what saves you if somebody tells you, no, you're doing a very wrong thing. So I believe that a lot of the task of a leader is actually to create a space where everybody can speak up, okay, but then actually be the sort of the synthesis of all the inputs and actually provide, you know, quite a straight guidance. But that's really what really matters.
So you start with openness and then move in from there, I guess.
Yeah. Yes. And okay. You never walk away really from openness. But a very characteristic trait, for instance, is that while, for instance, in let's see in Europe, managing by consensus, for instance, is perceived as a great thing. Okay, and I do believe that it's a great thing to sit around with your team, having your regular meetings, and discuss openly. And then, as a team, you take a decision. Okay, your role as a leader sometimes is to actually to moderate this session and actually move forward. Okay, this is the way we are formatted. Okay, in certain cultures, this way of acting is sometimes perceived as a weakness of the leader, and the people have a big question mark on the team on their head, saying why is he asking to me? Is he really in control of the situation? Does he really know what to do? Okay, so you need to balance very much this thing, because it's a matter of perception. You need to create the really the the right consensus, the right opportunity for everybody to speak and to provide a good input. But then you need also to be able to step up and say, okay, now we're going to do this. And this is very important because this is a sort of educated leadership that actually provides the best of the results. You are called to be very often the integrator or the synthesizer or also the referee or doing some arbitration in certain, if the opinion diverse. This is what the team wants from you. On the other hand, of course, a prescriptive top-down thing, for instance, in Europe, wouldn't work.
Yeah. Okay. So you were part of a transformation of a plant in Guatemala that was declining when you arrived, and it became one of the top performing operations for that multinational. So how did you go in there and make that transformation happen?
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. I tend to think that I focalized the team on the achievement. My role was maybe a catalyst, no more. But I believe that what happened is to speak clear. Okay, so it's very. I think that this is a very important point. In certain places, okay. The transitional management style is very top down. Okay, I was mentioning it's very prescriptive. Tell me, okay, you guys, you do this. Okay, without explaining. Right. When this happens, actually, it's very difficult to empower, of course, the people, but also to have. The people on the shop floor actually be, let's say, focused and perform at the best. Okay, it's like you're driving blindfolded. I mean, you will never succeed to arrive home. But if you are, for instance, what I used to do is very often some town hall meetings. Okay, well, actually, you expose yourself to your face. To the thousands of people in the shop floor, and actually you take some hard questions. Like it's very important to be credible and to actually to explain what the company is requiring from the plant to be performed. Okay, what are the goals? Okay, and there to explain things that nobody ever explains to the people. Okay, because simply maybe they were thinking that nobody could understand, and in fact they can understand. So you need to take the time to explain, to say, listen, those are the things that really matters. Those are the things that we have to do as a team. Okay, and we can do a lot for this plant. So doing that, it was very simple, is that you start speaking not to hands or legs, or you're speaking to the individuals, you're speaking to people, to the brains of the people. And this is what really matters, is that those are not head count, those are individuals. So you speak to them, you get them, you convince them, okay, because you need to be credible. And then it's another game, because then instead of having a top-down manufacturing tool and you say you basically order to people to do something, actually you have 1,000 brains that actually work and focus each every one with a specific task, and they feel the pride of contributing to a big design. This is what happened there. Was not... no more than explaining what had to be done, and then spend as much time as possible into the shop floor, side by side, listening to people and seeing what was the mood, if the plant was moving right, and what were the things that prevent people to perform. So just going around and understand, you know, again, the plant is a big team, and you are the coach if you're in a leadership position. So you need to understand what's going on.
That's part one of my conversation with Filippo Mauri. As you can see, He takes a very human approach to his role as a global supply chain strategist. Next time, we'll talk about the people and the opportunity in emerging markets, the impact of automation, and where he sees a bright future for manufacturing. I'm Janet Eastman. Thanks very much for listening to the Make It Right podcast.